need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to NatureBacked Podcast, where we are speaking with entrepreneurs and investors about the green future. Today at the Impact Day Festival in Tallinn, my guest is Greta Monstavice from Catalista Ventures. Greta, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tarmo. So nice to be here.
Tell, what is Catalista?
Catalista Ventures is a movement. In a more simple terms, Catalista Ventures was created to support entrepreneurs to create positive change. So when we started 6 years ago, no one cared about impact. There was very little about startups in the region. And so we knew that we would have to do something. We didn't really know what exactly that would end up to be. So we tried to support entrepreneurs in multiple different ways. Mm-hmm. The first 3 years was a lot about ecosystem building in general. So trying to, us pitching to entrepreneurs saying like, hey, you can do the startup in a positive way, like creating positive impact. Let us help you. Let us give you money to do it, please. So it was a very different startup investor relationship back then. So that lasted for maybe 1-2, then up until around 3 years, until COVID. And then from COVID, everyone started understanding what is impact. So from then on, the acceleration track of our Catalista Ventures programs kind of arise, sort of a more structured, not like personalized, but rather like program-based acceleration of impact startups. So since then, we've done multiple different programs. We are based in Lithuania, but our programs have accelerated startups in 15 different countries by now. So right now, I think if I count correctly, we are at 69 startups accelerated, and we have another 15 at the moment, and we have two more programs coming in like very foreseeable future. So we'll cross the 100 startup line very soon. And yeah, so we are working with the climate tech, we're working with circular fashion, we're working a lot with social innovation as well, which includes edtech, health tech, and different other aspects.
What's a typical startup? In which stage they apply or who?
That would be early stage. Mostly they are all having already an idea. They probably have a prototype of some sort or even a product, but they have not usually confirm that this is actually something that the market needs. So our role is very often around making sure that they are solving the right problem, making sure that there's someone who wants to buy that solution, and also to align them with their impact strategy, basically, right? So how are they working with impact? How have they integrated impact into their business model? Because something that's super important for us is to make sure that with every sale, they scale impact so that you cannot really take the impact away, right? Mm. When the cost cutting comes. So this is something that is very important to us. So early stage, usually still a couple of people only in the team, some traction, but not too much. And we then support them in scaling and understanding what their business model actually is and then scaling that.
The impact and sales, is combining them a challenge with at least some of the startups?
Depends. Depends what kind of startup do you have. So some startups start from a very business-minded goal. And in our experience, it's been easier to integrate impact into an existing business model than the other way around. So as I said, we are working quite a bit with social innovators. And in social innovation, especially when it comes to more vulnerable communities, you know, if there are special needs kids involved or I don't know, even teachers or like other groups, we see that it's very difficult for entrepreneurs to actually charge money. So this change in mindset is one of the most difficult tasks that we've been doing, sometimes successfully, sometimes not, but that is also okay, because then we strive to get that answer for the entrepreneur. Is this journey for them, or are they an NGO and that's fine?
Exactly. Somebody going to pay is probably the kind of the big challenge in the kind of general impact space.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
The coming from Lithuania, operating with the startups in 15 countries, how different are the kind of backgrounds of the different ecosystems or the different countries? Does it actually matter if the startup is from, I don't know, Poland or Czech Republic?
With the startup founders that we work, they're usually still very much, from the impact perspective, they're impact-minded still. At least they're interested in it or keen. So from that perspective, it's kind of the same. What is maybe different is the access of network and sort of resources that they have in their inner ecosystems. But then this is where we can leverage our impact investor network and our partner network to support them in that. So we don't really see a big difference, to be honest. I think, I think that's been pretty convenient from our side, because there's not much difference. It's more like, what are the benefits of the accelerator that we can actually give for the different ecosystems? And what is interesting actually is that we have created benefits for very mature ecosystems. So for example, we've had startups from Germany or Switzerland or Sweden, Australian teams who came to our accelerators and piloted their sustainable products with, for example, local in Lithuania corporates. And they're doing that because of the benefits that we as a small country have, right? We can get access to very important people in a very short amount of time. We can be faster, we can test faster, pilot faster, and get feedback faster. And for them, then they get a big brand in a very short amount of time. And for example, one startup that we've accelerated called Thrive in Germany, they wanted to pilot something related to wearables in the insurance industry. And they said, in Germany, like, it's so difficult. They are so not tech savvy, the people. And like, we know that you're very tech savvy and we want to test here. So we see even that the benefit of the local small ecosystem can be given into a very mature ecosystem.
I think one of the great examples is, for example, here at the Impact Day, the opening speech comes from the president. That's totally normal in a country of the size of Estonia. It's not so normal in the country of the size of Germany, I guess.
Exactly.
The one of the other good example from Germany, actually. I was about 10 years ago at one of the technology conferences, startup conferences in Germany, and there was a very cool, special kind of professor team with a couple of PhDs, and they had innovated a pen which made sure that the person signing the document was the person who it was supposed to be. And to this professor, I took out my Estonian ID card and showed it to him and said that this problem is solved. Please take the next one. Because, I mean, 99% of the signatures in this country are done digitally with the ID card. You don't need to solve a problem of somebody signing something on the paper.
Yeah, here goes the tech savviness of different cultures, right?
Exactly. So. Tell us a few words about how's the program? Now, when it's more structured, how long it is? Do you kind of make an investment when it starts or when it ends? Or what's the logic there?
Yeah, so it's a fun question because I've said that it's more structured, but it's not the same. It's not that structured. I think it's the benefit, but also a little bit of a challenge for us as a team, because all of our programs have different verticals. So we've done, as I said, climate tech, then we did circular fashion, and then there's social innovation. And we run all of these programs with different partners, because obviously the different vertical, in order to deliver the benefit to the startup and like different ecosystems, you need different partners to support you in that. So that means that each of those programs are slightly different. So for example, the circular fashion program was like super long. We had 6 months of the general program for 25 startups all around Europe. And then we had top five startups who did the sort of fundraising, 2 months of fundraising crash course. Further with us, which culminated in a fashion tech investor event in Milan a few weeks back. So that was one type of a program. But then we can also do, you know, a 3 or 4 month program, sort of a more intense, more condensed in the 3-4 months. We always have in all of the programs, this is a structured thing, mm-hmm. in all of the programs that we do, we have a chief mentor to each startup, which means that it's not necessarily the ultimate entrepreneur that can answer all of your questions, but it's a person that's going to do hand-holding for you throughout the whole period of the program to make sure that you take all the best that you can get from the network that we have, from the different speakers that we have. And if there's no one who can advise you, then this is the person who will find you the ones that you mm-hmm. need. So the chief mentor is something that we always have in our programs. And everything else, we try to be actually quite flexible. We try to, even if we have a structure for the program, in the beginning of each, we actually ask startups, okay, so what do you actually need? Do we need to add someone? Do we need to remove someone and all of mm-hmm. that? So this is pretty much. And we also had, as I said, we have been working with corporates quite a bit. So we had a couple of programs that were focused purely on piloting with large corporates, which is again a differently structured program.
Exactly. You said that at least two of them are in the pipeline. What topics are in the pipeline?
So the topics are actually diversity and social innovation.
Okay.
We currently have the first batch of Impact Valley, which is the program that is focusing on social innovation. So one of the goals for me in Impact Day is also to scout for the second batch a little bit, because we will be starting the second batch in the beginning of 2024.
Social value.
Impact Valley.
Impact value.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
The name or the program?
Or the content. What kind of startups fall under the impact value?
So it's quite broad. Most of the startups are in edtech, health tech, and green tech, but green tech for more like a social perspective. So most of them are from those areas. But we are flexible enough to add startups that are not necessarily in those sections. So we've discussed travel tech as well as one of the potential verticals, and others as well. But these would be, we would imagine that these would still remain the same, the main ones for the next batch as well.
Mm. Okay. The what was I thinking? The in the structure, the investment part.
Mm-hmm.
When do you invest in all startups you pick for the program, or do you guys invest in the end, or what's the logic there?
Sure. So we're not a fund. From the very beginning, we had very mixed feelings
about
setting.
You have the ventures in the name. It's kind of.
We do invest. Mm-hmm. So it's a complicated structure.
Mm-hmm.
Although no, it's actually very simple. We are not a fund, but we do invest sometimes. Mostly, the investment is not included in our acceleration program, and our policy, kind of internal policy, is more that when we accelerate a startup, if we see a really good match, if we see how we can help that startup grow forward and that we are needed in their journey, then we could invest in them. But that's more in a couple of startups per program and not everyone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we are exploring a fund right now. We were in the beginning sort of hesitant. We didn't want to do the paperwork and report
the markets
to all the
crashed and
yeah, and it's like it's a difficult job.
Mm.
But at the same time, I mean, I've just been in a huge conference called like GSG Global Impact Summit in Malaga, and you get inspired like how much the capital can move action as well, because that was very different from the usual startup conference. And startup conferences, I think it's bottom up, right? Like there are a lot of startups who want to make change. And there was a little bit of a more top-down approach where a lot of policymakers and like late stage investors are sort of creating the strategy for impact investing globally. And that was curious. That was interesting. So I'm not saying no.
No, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, of course, to have at least some kind of a cooperation partner. If you guys are not doing the fund yourself directly, at least have someone to work together with. Often, I think the best accelerator building cases, there is some kind of investment vehicle related to it.
Exactly. I think we've been also lucky enough in a sense that whenever we would invest, we would also obviously syndicate with our network of impact investors. And even if we don't invest, we have a large network, and there was enough money for most part of our existence in the market that we were able to connect our startups successfully and support their investment rounds. So I think that's been an interesting journey. We are trying to figure out what's the best for us as Catalyst Ventures to in that way.
Going back two steps, what was the trigger to launch it? What happened though?
It was very personal. The trigger was that I've had startup experience. I've had startup acceleration experience. Like my first startup experience that I've ever had was actually in Plug and Play. For the ones listening who don't know, it's like one of the biggest accelerators in the world, and in their branch in Spain. So that was an amazing experience. So it was Plug and Play combined with experience in impact, and then. I came back to Lithuania from like my travels all around the world, and there was nothing for me to do. Like there was nothing. I mean, of course there were some things to do, but there was nothing that I would want to do. And I talked with probably all ecosystem players, and there was just nothing with sustainability and nothing with startups in connection to that. And so simply as that.
That's how you usually do things, if there is.
No, yeah. but also I have to say, I reconnected with now my co-founder Alex at a very right time. I just recently looked at my post on Facebook like more than six years ago, and I was saying, oh, like exciting times ahead, which meant like I didn't know what's going to happen. And I'm looking back and thinking, oh my God, you really don't know. You really don't know what's going to happen.
What are the kind of the next milestones? Or we talked a little bit about, you know, pondering about possibly setting up a fund, a couple of the next programs which are in the pipeline, possibly, likely. What else for the Catalystas perspective?
So as I said, like the first probably 3 years of Catalysta was very much around ecosystem building. I have a sense that we are almost in a position where the ecosystem is almost autonomous enough that it was built. I'm not saying that we were alone doing it, of course not, but I feel like the significant part that we had in building that within the sort of Lithuanian Baltic ecosystem is kind of I'm okay with it right now. Then there was this part of, okay, so we have the ecosystem and impact, kind of curious. Now we need to actually make it practical. So that's when we started doing all of these programs, right? When we started involving all the million partners and like all the corporates. So sort of educating, but practicing it as well through programs. And I think, of course, there are programs in the future that we're doing, but I think the next step is also going to be narrowing down. Again, kind of going, probably picking a vertical, and we are leaning towards some within the team just naturally, picking a vertical and sort of really focusing on that, because impact, luckily enough, impact doesn't mean one thing anymore. It became a very broad term. So
it basically means everything these days, right?
Exactly. So it didn't mean nothing, then it started meaning something, now it means everything, which is great. I really like it. So right now I think it's going to be narrowing down and focusing on that and finding the best model to do it, which is very broad, but this is as much as I can say to you today.
Yeah. Good luck with that. And thanks for this interview.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Have you ever wondered what actually happens in Congress every day? Stay informed on Capitol Hill's daily happenings with a concise, factual summary of the Senate and House of Representatives' activities from the previous session, free from bias, on the Congressional Record Daily Digest podcast. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform and discover the process from the heart of U.S. politics. The Congressional Record Daily Digest, an Electricast production.
Hey there, fabulous souls. I'm Stephanie Bakhlaan.
And I'm Eden Alpert.
And we're the hosts of the brand new podcast, Unapologetically Fab.
Get ready to join us on an amazing and real journey as we dive into life after 40 and own it.
We're all about changing the narrative, leaning into who you are, and living a life by your own design.
Join us as we embrace life unapologetically and redefine success.
This is Unapologetically Fab,
an Electricast production.
See you there.
Electricast.